Good evening. It's good to be with you again tonight, to have another opportunity to bring a portion of God's Word to you. If you would turn to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians. We'll begin there in a minute. I want to talk tonight about the call of Christ. We all have that call. It's something that is available for all men everywhere to come to the knowledge of the truth, to answer that call, and to start a life as a Christian and begin that walk, and ultimately to serve God for the rest of our lives and for the rest of eternity. And begin reading in verse 13 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It says, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." So that we see that we are the called out. We are called to be Christians. We are called to follow God. And that's through through that we are able to obtain the glory of God. And we see in verse 15 that we are to stand fast and hold the traditions which we're taught, either by word or the epistle we see here. And that that is a responsibility we have as Christians, to hold fast, to stand for the truth, to abide by the truth, and to apply it to our lives, and it should be evident in our everyday lives and be seen by the world. In verse 16 it says that the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God the Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace. We have that hope of heaven, a hope of eternity, through the grace of God. It's nothing that we deserve or can earn. It's nothing that we are entitled to. It's something that is given to us by the grace of God. He gives us that opportunity to choose to serve him, to choose to do what's right, and to give him what he deserves in our praise and our worship to him, and ultimately live a life as a Christian and disciples of his, and we have that hope of eternal life in heaven with him through his grace. And our works should be good, our works should be evident as works of a disciple of Christ. We should be seen by the world as set apart, someone who's different, someone that is called out from Christ, and we should be, it should be evident in our lives that we are disciples of Christ. I want to talk about the call of salvation. If you would turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We'll read there in a minute, beginning in verse 37. In Matthew, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It's a calling. He tells us to come to him. Christ came to this earth and he died for us. God sent him because he loves us. And so that's their part. They've done what is necessary for us to be forgiven our sins. They've done what is necessary for us to have the hope of eternal life in heaven with him. And he calls us to come to him. It's a call that we are obligated to answer to. It's not something that is automatic, that he calls us. He wants us to come to the knowledge of the truth and obey him, so we're automatically saved. We have a responsibility. We have an obligation to answer that call, and we're told through the scriptures on what we must do to be saved. In Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 37, we read, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' Then Peter said to them, 'Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. So we see they ask Peter and the apostles what they must do to be saved. They have that opportunity to answer the call of Christ. And Peter told them to repent. Repent from their past life. Repent from their sins. And turn away from that. And obey the gospel. We have different things that we are called to do. Works that we show our faith by. We show our faith by our works. And it's through those works that we can be saved by our faith. Christ sets aside those different works for us to partake in, and they're things that are necessary. They're obligations for us to obey. And we see that the promise is to all, to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord God will call. The gospel is for all. We sing that song that the gospel is for all, and it's very true. All men can be saved, but it is a choice. It is our choice. We are all called to Christ. We all have the obligation to serve him and to come to him. But it's our choice whether or not we will answer that call and we will obey him. If you would turn to in Matthew it says, come to me all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's something that it's our responsibility to answer that call. And that rest is that salvation that we have through obeying God's word. And he offers that up to us. If you would turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans 10. We read of confessing Jesus with our mouths. Confessing him. Romans 10 and verse 9. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew or Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Calling on the name of the Lord, it's doing what the Lord has set before us, his commands that we have to do. Some in the world, I know many in different denominations, friends from school that I've heard say, calling on the name of the Lord can mean asking him for forgiveness in a prayer and calling on his name, telling him you believe in him through a prayer and asking him to come into your life, come into your heart, and you will be saved. But you are to accept him in your heart, and then there are different works that we show our faith by, that we are responsible to carry out. And we see that through his commandments in the scriptures. And in verse 14 it says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings to good things. Glad tidings of good things. How shall we call on him in whom we have not believed? We have to believe fully in our minds and our hearts that Christ is perfect, that he came to this world and lived a sinless life and died for us. We must believe that God is the creator of all things and he is the ultimate giver of life and the only one that can save us from eternal damnation. And we have that responsibility to answer that call. And we have a call to submission. In Matthew it says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. If you would turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. We have a call to submission. It's something that a lot of people in this life who claim to be Christians, they just don't get it. They think that maybe they know what's right. They know what's best for themselves. And they don't follow every word of Christ. They don't follow all of his commands. But we have to submit to Him. He knows what's best for us, and He knows what's right. In Matthew 28, in verse 18, we read that Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Christ has all authority, and that has been given to Him. He knows all things, and He knows what's best for us. He has the authority, and we are to submit to His authority. If you will turn back a few chapters in Matthew, chapter 17, and verse 5. This is while Jesus is being transfigured on the Mount. Let's start in verse 1. It says, "Now after 6 days," this is Matthew 17, "Jesus took Peter, James, John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, his clothes became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, 'Lord, is it good for us to be here? It is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.'" So they're wanting to make tabernacles for these three people, Jesus and Moses and Elijah, people they have followed, their teachings that they trust and that they understand speak with the authority of God. But in verse 5, it says, "While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him.'" That's pretty powerful that God himself spoke and told them to hear his Son. Hear Jesus. Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. He is the one that we can trust. He is the one that ultimately has the words of life and the words that can save us. And we are to submit to his authority. If you would turn to James chapter 4. James 4. Answering Christ's call to salvation and submitting and answering that call and turning your life away from your past sins is of nothing. It's with no value if you're not fully submissive. We're to submit fully to Christ. It's not something that is partial. We can't have one foot in the world and one foot with Christ. It's not possible. We must be on fire for the Lord. We must be all in for being a Christian, all in for serving God, and we must submit fully to Him. In James 4 and verse 7 says, "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up." God's offered us a way out of eternal life in hell. He's offered us His Son who was sacrificed for our sins. He's done His part. He's given us what we need to answer that call and to start a life in His service. And it's up to us to draw near to Him. Because if we draw near to Him, He will draw near to us. If we push God away, we're just doing a disservice to ourselves. If we decide to be in the world and not fully submitted to His will, then we're just hurting ourselves, because if we're not drawing near to God, He will not draw near to us. And we should humble ourselves. We should forget about what we think is right. Like we said, and we were saying in class this morning, it's almost always a bad thing when you hear someone talk about I and what I think and what I believe is right. We need to look to the Scripture. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, we see that all Scripture is inspired by God. It's for our well-being. It's for us to use. It's a tool. It's here for us to know what to do to please Him. And we must submit to it. We must submit to the words of Christ. We must submit to God and to Christ and give our lives fully to them. If you would turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. Here it talks, starting in verse 20, about the new man. we are to put on. When we are baptized, our old man dies and we rise out of the water, a new man. We rise as servants of God, as disciples of Christ. Beginning in verse 20 of Ephesians 4, we read, "But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus." Excuse me. "As the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." We are to put off our former conduct. What does that mean? When you're not a Christian, when you're of the world, you're practicing sin. It's something you're enjoying. It's something that you want to partake in. It's something that perhaps you even recognize as evil, something that's wrong, but you continue in it. And that's something that we completely need to do away with. When we make that decision to follow Christ, when we become disciples of His, we are responsible to, we have that responsibility to put off that old man, never return to it. And oftentimes we falter and we sin, and it shouldn't be often that we do this. We hear in prayers sometimes that we often sin and fall short, but it's not something that should be often. It should be very seldom that this happens, because we have put away that old man. And we are a new man walking in Christ and walking according to that call. If you would turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter 3. In verse 15. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15 it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." We should set aside God in our hearts. He should be our first priority. He should be the most important thing that we live for. We're here on this earth to worship Him, to fear Him and keep His commandments. And that is our full responsibility. That should be our full focus, to submit fully to Him and to make Him our number one priority. And we should be diligent in our studies. We should be completely immersed in the Word and meditate on it and live our lives by it and be ready to give that defense for the hope that we have. And we should be willing to teach the gospel to others, to spread it around so that others can come to Christ. We suffer sometimes because we're Christians, and it's something that is so little compared to the suffering of Christ. But we need to remember that He suffered for us, and we should also do the same for Him. We will go through different trials and tribulations through this life if we stand firm in the truth, if we stand for what is right, if we stand for Christ, and if we do His will. We will have those times that we are suffering, maybe from persecution or whatever else it be. But we need to stand fast in the faith, and we need to give a defense of our faith. We are also we're called to be a disciple. We have a call to discipleship. In John it says, "The following day Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and He found Philip and said to him, 'Follow me.'" Just as He said to Philip, "Follow me," He says to us to follow Him. If you would turn to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew 8, verses 18 through 22, we read of a couple of disciples of Jesus and them asking Him a question, Him answering them with very meaningful words. In verse 18 it says, "When Jesus saw great multitudes about Him, He gave a command to depart to the other side. Then a certain scribe came and said to Him, 'Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said to them, 'Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head.' Then another of his disciples said to him, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, follow me, and let the dead bury their own dead. The first one asked, told him that he will follow him wherever he goes. Now, maybe he didn't fully understand what he was saying when he said that. And Jesus answers that the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Being a disciple of Christ is not something that's periodical or something that just happens once every Sunday when we come together in assembly to worship Him. It's something that is continuous through our lives, or at least it should be. If we are truly disciples of Christ, if we have truly submitted to His will and decided to follow Him, indefinitely, we should continue in that. And it's something that continues until He comes again or until our life on this earth ends. The other disciple said, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. We should make Jesus our first priority. It's not something that we do something else now and then we follow Christ. It's not something that can wait. It's something that you're called to do now. It's something that can't be put off. We have that obligation to answer the call and to follow Him completely and after we have become that new man, it's without change. We don't go back to our old man. If you would turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. There's a call of assurance here. Romans 8, verse 28 through 30. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. So all things work together for good for those who love God. We will have fruitful lives, happy lives if we decide to follow God. Good things come to those who follow Him. And we are to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Jesus was the perfect example on how to live on this earth. He lived on the same earth as we do. He walked on the same land, the same earth as we do, and He went through temptations as we do, except He was without fault. He did not falter. He continued, and He ran toward the goal. He was the ultimate sacrifice because He was perfect, and then He overcame death, of course, and we can do so as well if we follow Him, if we give our lives to Him, if we strive to be perfect like He was. Now, we can't all be perfect because we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, as it says in Romans. But we have that obligation to strive for perfection. It's something that you should have evident in your life that you are striving for that perfection. You should be diligent in your studies. You should be diligent in worshiping God and offering your life to Him. And it's something that we have to answer to the call of Christ. It's here for us, and we have a responsibility and an obligation to answer that call. You have an opportunity this evening, if you have not answered that call, to decide, to make that decision, the most important decision of your life, to come to Christ, to answer that call that is available for everyone and on this earth, available for you at this time. Don't leave this place without answering that call of Christ. You don't want to regret that when you leave this place and you run out of time and it's too late. If you have answered the call of Christ, but you have fallen away from the path and you have failed Him, you have failed to keep His commandments, to be fully submissive to Him and to recognize His authority and that He knows best for you, please come forward and repent of your sins. Make an acknowledgement of those sins in your life. We're here to pray for you. We love you. and we want you to do right. The gospel is for all. Christ wants us all to come to the knowledge of the truth. It's here for us. All we have to do is to answer that call. If you have a need to do so, or if you have any other spiritual need that we can help you with, feel free to come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.